Good morning again. Like I said, I'll be trying something new out today, speaking up front. I'd like for everyone to turn to their Bibles to Psalm 148. It's on page 623 of the Pew Bibles, Psalm 148. And while you're turning, first of all, for those who weren't able to come to game night last Wednesday, it was a lot of fun. Got to play a lot of games. I played Scrabble with all the students, and I learned that we got a few sharp minds in among the students here. Had a lot of really neat words and a very competitive group of kids. And also our youth pastor, too, has a very sharp mind, and we should be thankful for having him. Next week, we'll be starting a series to answer the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? Christian, that word is 9 letters long, and sometimes we sing songs about being a Christian, but what does it mean? So we're going to spend the next 9 Sundays asking the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? What is this gospel that people talk about? What is the church? What is baptism and communion? What is this Bible that we read? Etc., etc. And hopefully, we'll all learn something new through it all. It'll be for those interested in learning what Christianity is all about. For those who have just become Christians and want to learn more about their decision, and for those who have been Christians their whole lives and want to plumb the depths of what it means to be a Christian. So I encourage you to come and enjoy these next 9 weeks with me. Listen now and read along with me Psalm 148. Again, on page 623. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. So I mentioned we're in the season of Christmas, the 12 days of Christmas, and it'll culminate in Epiphany, which is often called Three Kings Day. Many Christians around the world celebrate Three Kings Day, sometimes even more than Christmas. It's the day that the three kings came to Jesus and his family. As a child, we would celebrate Three Kings Day by getting a shoebox and going out, picking some grass and putting it in the shoebox and putting that under our bed. And then the three kings would come that night and the camels would have their way with the grass and eating some and making a mess of the rest all over our rooms. And the three kings would leave three gifts, just as they left three gifts for Jesus. They left three gifts under our beds, And when we woke up in the morning, we'd open our gifts. I intend to celebrate this as well this year. But I hope that Three Kings know that I've had a change of address and they can find me. Hopefully the previous residents of the parsonage had celebrated as well, so they know where the parsonage is. But again, this is the Christmas season. On Christmas Eve, we talked about the nativity scene. And for those who came, you remember that the nativity scene is an interesting piece of art. It certainly has a lot of history in it. It has Jesus being born in a stable, and he's lying in a manger with Joseph and Mary beside him. And of course, there's the shepherd. The shepherds came that night being beckoned by the angels to where to find this Messiah. But we also have the Three Kings, and according to Matthew, we learned that the Three Kings didn't come that night. They came much later, maybe a year or two after Jesus was born. So that might be a little odd, but it's a piece of art that is telling us something. It's telling us that all of creation is coming to worship this King of creation that was born. So we have... Sometimes you have a star above the stable coming to praise. We have this angel hanging on the ceiling. Maybe that angel wasn't there, but it's a portrayal of the angels that were singing that night to the shepherds. They've come to praise God. The shepherds come. The cattle come. You notice in Psalm 148, it talks about the wild animals and the domesticated animals, the cattle. So the cattle have come. The kings from the Far East have come, the Three Kings. Again, in Psalm 148, all these things, the stars, the angels, the kings, the animals, all have come to praise this King of creation. So I can't think of a better psalm to talk about today than Psalm 148, a perfect picture of the nativity scene, a perfect picture of Christmas. But this picture, notice how it begins. It's a journey, and the journey begins with you. Notice how this psalm begins. Praise the Lord. In the King James Version, they actually add a word to clarify this. Praise ye the Lord. You praise the Lord. It starts with you praising the Lord. The psalmist is telling you, if you come to this psalm, don't just come with your mind. You have to come with your whole self, with your heart full of praising God. If you come a bit removed, with an arm's length away from the nativity scene, then you'll never experience what is happening in this stable. That there is all of creation coming to praise the Lord. So I encourage you to come forward this morning, to get closer to this nativity scene, and to become part of it. Every year, more and more Christians come to the nativity and become part of this nativity scene. Come and praise the Lord. But then it continues. And notice, praise the Lord from the heavens. So the psalmist then goes to the heavens, to the heights of the heavens, with the angels and the heavenly hosts. I remember in Psalm 19, I believe, it begins with, "Let the heavens declare the glory of God." There's a lot of skeptics out there that want the heavens to prove God. And as David Lewis quoted from this author, there's no way to prove God. There's no way to disprove God either. But many skeptics want the heavens to prove God to them. But it's interesting, the heavens they aren't really interested in proving the existence of God. They're more interested in declaring the glory of God. And I think if we come to this question simply with our minds, we won't be satisfied. The answer to these questions involve our whole selves, bringing our whole selves, our heart, to the issue. When we come to the question of the existence of God with our heart full of praise, then we see all of creation praising God. And I think maybe a few skeptics will see God in that praise. But we know we see God being praised among the angels and all the heavenly hosts and the heights above. We see him being praised by the sun and the moon and the shining stars, the highest heavens. And then the psalmist goes down to the earth, and even lower than that, to the depths of the deep. Praise the Lord, O you great sea creatures and all the ocean depths. The lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do its bidding, the mountains and the hills. It's interesting, if you go to the very last verse of Psalms, the book of Psalms, you'll read, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." But Psalm 148, it's listing a bunch of things that don't have breath, that's already praising the Lord. The mountains and the hills, the lightning and the hail. It reminds me of Palm Sunday. Do you remember Palm Sunday? Jesus was going into Jerusalem triumphantly on a donkey, a symbol of peace. He's proclaiming peace on earth as in heaven. And everyone around him is praising Jesus as the Messiah, as the King. Well, everyone except the religious leaders. The religious leaders were not praising him. And you always have to worry about these religious leaders, I being one of them. God proclaims that we all praise him, that Jesus talks about the little children praising him. It's so simple, just praise God. And sometimes the religious leaders make simple things really complicated. In that story, they said, "Jesus, why are all these people praising you like you're a king, like you're God? Please, shut them up. We don't want to hear that." And Jesus' response is, "Well, if they don't praise me, then the rocks will cry out. The rocks will cry out." And I've wondered if Jesus was just exaggerating then, if the rocks really would cry out. But I think about just a rock just hanging out there, waiting, and he sees his creator coming towards him. And all around him, there's these creatures that have breath that aren't praising God, that aren't praising his creator. I would think that this rock would try to muster some breath somewhere and a mouth and vocal cords just to praise God. I mean, if these creatures who were blessed to have breath to praise God aren't doing it, then I'm going to do it nonetheless. It's really funny how creation praises God much better than we praise God. And what does it mean for a rock or other things to praise God? Well, I think it's to do what you're made to do. Creation does what it was created to do. We see the stormy winds, they blow, the lightning strikes, the thunder rolls, the mountains, they do mountain things, the trees, they bear fruit, the birds, they soar, and we humans, well, we in our creativity find new ways every day to rebel against God, right? We've certainly gotten good at ignoring God. But we were made to praise God, right? We were also made to help the rest of creation praise God. If you remember in the book of Genesis, one of our very first commands as human beings, directed to Adam and Eve, when they were placed in the garden, take care of the garden, right? Care for creation. Make sure that it can be what it was created to be. But as a human race, we have a pretty bad track record of taking care of creation. We were given a garden, and we create landfills. We're given these beautiful, majestic mountains and rolling hills, and we make mountains of our own, of garbage, refuse. We think little about how we are polluting creation, making it difficult for it to do what it was meant to do, hurting ecosystems, even destroying whole species. Think of the dodo bird. It cannot praise God anymore because of humans like us. I personally would love to see how a dodo bird praises God, but sadly, we can't. The irony is that it's non-Christians that are scolding us, Christians, for destroying creation. It's atheists who don't even believe in a God that are taking care of creation more than us. They might not know the one who created all of this, but they do have the common sense to know that it needs to be taken care of. I would hope that Mount Hermon can be a great example for both Christians and non-Christians to remember one of our first commandments by God to take care of this wonderful creation. In this season of gift giving, we need to remember that wonderful gift of creation, the wonderful gift of our breath to praise God for this creation. Let's decide now, as a church, as individuals, to think about our buying practices. What are we buying? How is it affecting creation? What is happening in the background for this product to come to us? Simple things like never buying styrofoam again. I think I can live without styrofoam and use paper products instead. Instead of styrofoam which ends up in a landfill, paper. We can put it in our compost pile. We can recycle it. We can recycle a bunch of other things like aluminum and tin and these other products that we use. We don't have to throw away and put in a landfill. We can recycle. We can recreate this landfill into what this land was created to be. I've thought sometimes of maybe challenging us all to see if we could go for a week without producing any garbage. I wonder if we could do that. I've thought of it myself, and maybe one day we can decide as a church to take that challenge and see if we can go for a week without producing any garbage, just either recycling or reusing or compost pile or something like that. I think it might be able to be done. But I'd love to see Mount Hermon to be an example here as a little slice of the Garden of Eden in some way to the churches in the Yates Association and to just our community in Orange County. Well, part of our job as Christians and as leaders of creation is to facilitate creation to praise God. That includes animals, it includes mountains, but it also includes people, certainly. And I'd like just to share a few examples. The staff at Mount Hermon, they meet every week to plan for events in the church, to facilitate the worship of people who come to Mount Hermon Baptist Church. Another thing is we have an audiovisual committee who is working tirelessly, many hours, good hard work, meeting many evenings, to try to think about how we can improve our audiovisual system without including distractions, but to help us, to help visitors come and be able to praise God as we were made to. A little something that we can all do as individuals. We can take the first 5 minutes after the service and dedicate that to meeting people that we don't know here at Mount Hermon, to make them feel comfortable, to make a friend, so that when they do come to Mount Hermon, it's a comfortable place, that they can focus on praising God and not focus about whether people like them or not. Those are just little things that we can do to facilitate creation praising God. There is a literal symphony of praise all around us if we listen, if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Many parts harmonizing together in creation. But there's also dissonance. There's also parts that are out of harmony. And the story of humanity is a story of us being out of harmony with the choir of creation. I think about our music minister, Bob, and how he tirelessly brings new ideas to help us worship every Sunday. Included in this work is choir practice on Wednesday nights. All are invited, correct? Yes? It's a little plug. And it starts again this Wednesday. So if you're new, come on Wednesday and you can join our choir. But during practice, I imagine if there's a voice that is off, then Bob may stop practice and may go and help the person whose voice is off. I see some laughing. There must be some stories behind that. Well, in the same way, the choir of creation had fallen into helpless dissonance. We could not return to harmony by our own power. We could not live the life that we were created to live. And God knew this. And so God came down in the midst of this dissonance. And he sang a song. A song in the life of Jesus Christ that we see. The root of that dissonance was the power of death. Death that entered this world. And with Jesus' resurrection from the dead, he defeated that dissonant power. And he now offers us all a way to return to this song. The Holy Spirit gives us a new tongue to sing God's praises, to sing along with the psalmist in Psalm 148. Soon Christ will return and set everything right. And if you read in Romans 8, you see creation anticipating that day when Christ returns, groaning groaning in anticipation for all of these parts to be set back right in harmony. But today we can all make a decision to join this song. Would you like to join the song that God has given to creation? God is ready to accept you and give you a new life that will sing the praises of God. Here at Mount Hermon, we're just a small part of this choir of creation. But we sing our hearts out, and we welcome new voices to sing with us each and every day. If you're interested in joining Mount Hermon as a member, as this small part of God's creation choir, then I encourage you to come forward this morning. If you're interested in joining the song and becoming a Christian, I encourage you to come forward during this hymn of invitation. Please bow your hearts with me as we sing to our God. O Lord, we thank you for the gift of creation. We thank you for entrusting us with this gift as your stewards, O Father. We commit again to caring for this gift of creation within our lives as individuals, as households, and as the household of God in this church we call Mount Hermon. O Lord, in your wisdom, please guide us. We really don't know how creation works fully. Only you do. And we need your wisdom to guide us on how to care for this beautiful gift. O Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came down and taught us how to sing the song. Lord, we give you our lives once again in praise as a sweet song in praise of all that you've done in our lives and who you are. We pray all these things in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.
In the 198th.
Things as we end, remember that a business meeting is next Sunday, directly after the service. I encourage all of y'all to come. Also, the poinsettias from the the Advent season are out in the back hallway, and we welcome you to take them if you can use them. You can give them to others. We just ask that you leave the little plastic coaster behind so that we can use them next season. As we join hands together today, let's join hands across the sixth row so we can stay close together and finish with a final song.
Word.